developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices, at novonordisk-us.com.
WCVE Public Radio. Jeff Shapiro joins us now live from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of Virginia's political news. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning, Wayne.
Well, the General Assembly took one day of overtime to end its 2011 regular session. As usual, the hang-up was the budget. They finally produced agreement and also dealt with transportation in a way that hasn't been for several decades now, but still falling short of what many had hoped to achieve on that.
Yes, budget wrapped up a day late, 47 days for the boys and girls of winter. They'll be back soon enough. That budget includes more money for education, particularly for higher education, and that's a priority for this governor. He envisions 100,000 more graduates over the next decade, and it's clearly a positive talking point for Governor McDonald, for his Republican Party, and even for the Democratic opposition. There are some sour notes here. The General Assembly far more generous with public employees than the governor would like them to be. All of this is part of that fix or attempted fix of the pension system, which has a $17 billion hole in it. And on transportation, there isn't as much general fund money in there as the governor would like. General fund money is the money that supports schools and cops and social services. Programs that are general in their application, as they say down the street. But the guts of that transportation plan are in place, and the guts are $3 billion in bonds, $3 billion in debt, bills that we'll be paying over a long, long time for roads that we very much need now, says the governor. And there's going to be a lot of debate over whether this was the wise thing to do. And we cannot forget that this General Assembly left town, killing the governor's plan to move Virginia into private liquor sales, killing it without a single vote.
Seemed like last year, that's about all we heard about, and nary a sound from the General Assembly on that issue.
Yes, indeed.
Okay. Former Governor Tim Kaine said to be deciding this weekend whether to run for the Senate next year. He's expected to announce his decision shortly. And polls are showing he might be in a dead heat with former Senator George Allen, who is running to regain his seat.
Yes, Hamlet on the James, to run or not to run. Public policy polling, this polling out for Dana, North Carolina, as you pointed out, Wayne, indicates that an Allen-Kaine match at this point would be a dead heat. However, buried within those figures, an interesting finding that Governor Allen's and Senator Allen's negatives, the unfavorable manner in which he is perceived, considerably higher than Tim Kaine's. And if Allen is running to take back this seat, he may have to run down Kaine's nice guy image. And the risk in that, of course, is that it may remind people why they are uncomfortable with Allen in the first place.
And another poll shows President Obama would carry Virginia again over any of the most mentioned Republican candidates.
Yes, and of course, we cannot forget that poll also showed that George Allen seems to be a cinch to win the Republican nomination in a primary against some of these Tea Partiers, including Jamie Radke. But, of course, George Allen is a lot better known than any of these other candidates. And that it should be no surprise as well, since Allen has been running nonstop to get back into the political game since his surprise defeat for Senate to Jim Webb.
Right. Just a little over 2 minutes to go. Speaking of the Tea Party, did they have any influence in the just-ended General Assembly session?
Well, there were a lot of defeats, but there was a surprise win. One of those defeats is that so-called repeal amendment, a state veto over allegedly offensive federal laws and regulations. But the Tea Party people were able to push through, largely playing to the fears of legislators, the electoral fears of legislators, a constitutional amendment that would restrict the power of government to seize private property. This is called eminent domain. Now, this is all pushed back to that very controversial Supreme Court decision, U.S. Supreme Court decision several years ago up in a Connecticut case, allowing a city to seize private property for economic development purposes. By the way, that land was used to build a headquarters for a pharmaceutical company, and it's since closed down, a victim of the recession. Now, this Virginia initiative has to get through the General Assembly one more time before it can go on the ballot. And, you know, legislators, after they've been reelected, tend to be a little less malleable. So maybe the future for this constitutional amendment is uncertain.
Just about a minute to go. Well, an exercise in bipartisanship, mainly, a rare thing these days. Virginia Democratic Senator Mark Warner and Saxby Chambliss, a very conservative Republican senator from Alabama, are going to be in Richmond. They've kind of been a team lately, pushing for budget deficit reductions.
Chambliss actually from Georgia.
Yes, excuse me.
This is the Warner Chambliss Red Ink Reduction Show. It'll be in Richmond on Monday. These anti-deficit twins are trying to find some new middle ground in the Senate for a solution to all that federal red ink. You know, the government's $14 trillion in the hole. And as a starting point, Warner and Chambliss want the Senate to look at the recommendations of that Obama Deficit Reduction Commission. It says that everything should be on the table, spending cuts, repeal of tax cuts, and curtailing entitlements.
Thanks, Jeff. We got to go.
Bye-bye.
8:40.
It's Morning Edition from NPR.